In the Wake of Madness, The Murderous Voyage of the Whale Ship Charon by Joan Druid, read by Dennis Boutsakaris. Introduction. On May 25, 1841, the whale ship Charon of Fairhaven, Massachusetts, set out on the first leg of what was to become one of the most notorious voyages of the 19th century, and yet one of its best-kept secrets. She was bound for the whaling grounds of the northwestern Pacific, where many small tropical islands lay scattered in an immensity of sea. In charge of the quarter-deck were three men from the island of Martha's Vineyard: Captain Howes Norris and his first and second officers, both named Smith. Earlier that year, on January 3rd, a sister whale ship, the Acushnet, had worked her way out of just the same bay. Her captain was another Vineyard man, Valentine Pease Jr., and among her crew was an aspiring writer, Herman Melville, a young man whose Pacific adventures, along with the stories he heard from other whalemen, would provide background and inspiration for his great novel, Moby Dick. Leaving Fairhaven in January, the Acushnet had steered south for Cape Horn, at the southernmost extremity of South America, to battle headwinds on the way to the eastern Pacific, where she would hunt whales off Chile and Peru and reprovision at the Marquesas Islands. These were waters that Melville came to know well, the same Cape Horn route and the same waters that were sailed by the Nantucket whale ship Essex, which was sunk by a whale in November 1820, providing the inspiration for the ultimate fate of Melville's fictional Pequod, though not for her course. In Moby Dick, Captain Ahab took the opposite route to Captain Pease of the Acushnet. He steered for the Cape of Good Hope at the bottom of Africa, and then traversed the Indian Ocean to the East Indies to negotiate the shoals and reefs there before breaking into the Western Pacific. Ahab's route was exactly the same as that followed by Norris of the Charon, who hunted sperm whales in the same seas where Captain Ahab pursued the great white whale. And Norris of the Charon, like Ahab of the Pequod, was headed for disaster. The earliest notice of Norris's gruesome fate appeared in the shipping intelligence column of the Sydney Morning Herald on December 23, 1842. "The Charon has put in to obtain hands, and also on account of the murder of her late commander, Captain Norris," the announcement ran. Behind this bald statement lay a story so sensational that it raced across the world as fast as wind could fill sails, creating headlines wherever it went and gripping the imagination of the public. The path to calamity had been laid on October 15, 1842, when the Charon arrived at Ascension Island, now called Pohnpei, in the tropical northwest Pacific. Typical of the Pacific paradises that young men dreamed of before they joined the crews of whalers, it was also a favorite spot for absconding from the ship, but not desertion on the scale experienced by the captain of the Charon. 12 men had escaped while the ship was anchored in the lagoon, an almost unprecedented number, a number that left the ship critically short-handed. Captain Howes Norris had had no choice but to steer for the Bay of Islands, New Zealand, to try to recruit more men. 10 days later, as the Sydney Morning Herald went on to describe, fate intervened. A school of sperm whales was raised. The swift flight to New Zealand was interrupted to lower two boats in the chase, leaving just 4 men and a boy on board. One of the men was Captain Norris. 3 others were Pacific Islanders who, once the boats were well away, seized their chance to slaughter the captain. "So craftily did the islanders act," penned whaling writer Charles Boardman Hawes, "that neither captain nor boy had the slightest reason to suspect them of treachery. Without warning, the captain was felled. The boy fled to the rigging, and the savages ran amok. About 5 p.m., recorded the Morning Herald, "it was seen from the boats and the flag was hoisted half-mast. At once the oarsmen pulled for the ship. The 3 natives, naked, smeared with fresh blood, yelling war cries and brandishing weapons, were ready and waiting. The first mate, Thomas Smith, ordered a retreat, and a panic-stricken council of war was held. Prospects for survival were grim. The nearest land was 700 miles away, and there was no food and little fresh water stored on the boats. However, as Hawes went on to relate, in their company was a man with the..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?